Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday, January 16th, 2017. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, live here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. A bit of a different mood here on today's Current Sports due to the Larry Nassar sentencing that is underway. Began around 9 a.m. this morning at Ingham County Circuit Court in Lansing under Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. And the hearing is scheduled to proceed through the end of the week, Friday, as about 88 victims or their advocates are currently expected to give statements prior to Nassar's sentencing. That all according to the Michigan Attorney General's office. We have two testimonies that we will play courtesy of WLNS TV6 live here on our airwaves. You'll get my thoughts on where this whole thing is going and what it means for a few parties that are affiliated with Larry Nassar. I saw that around 12:30 p.m. today, ESPN's Outside the Lines aired a piece concerning Michigan State University's involvement in the Larry Nassar sentencing. There are so many layers to peel apart when it comes to this case, and we will get to all of those details in just a moment. But then later on in the hour, we'll move on to less important matters as we dive into some sports talk chatter surrounding the Michigan State men's basketball team, which is still licking its wounds after a loss to in-state rival Michigan. And what a thrilling game it was last night for the Michigan Wolverines in Ann Arbor at the Chrysler Center, barely squeaking out a win over Maryland. And you know, I looked at that game last night and said to myself, how about that? That's called good karma right there. Because if you look at how Michigan fell to Purdue by 1 point, Mo Wagner, the foul to big man Isaac Haas to put him to the line to put Purdue ahead and eventually seal the deal, put the babies to bed. Well, last night we saw some good karma where Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, he went to the line to seal the deal and beat Maryland by 1 point. So we'll talk about Michigan State trending downward and Michigan trending upward in the world of college basketball. And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about the Detroit Pistons. Haven't chatted about the red, white, and royal blue in quite some time here live on our airwaves as we will diagnose what exactly is taking place with the Pistons, who have now fallen to the eighth seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference. So all of that while, of course, allowing you to be a part of the conversation. If you would like to join us here on WKAR's Current Sports throughout this hour, multiple ways in which you can do so. Simply pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. We have the live stream up and running. You can comment below that video and I will do my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. But let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. In just a moment, we'll have chatter surrounding the Larry Nassar sentencing taking place here in Lansing at Ingham County Circuit Court. We actually have our very own Scott Pohl and Katie Cook, who have been present since this morning, covering the testimony of many survivors of this really heinous ordeal. Tried to work on getting Scott a part of the show, but he's tied up because it looks as though the testimonies have resumed, 6 minutes ago at 1 o'clock. So if anything changes, though, we will have Scott on the show. But if not, as you can imagine, he is very busy covering that. But we'll have two testimonies that we will be playing live here on our airwaves, courtesy of WLNS. Don't miss that. We'll have that in just a moment. Tristan Jackson, now former Michigan State football wide receiver, he announced via Twitter on Monday afternoon that he is transferring to Syracuse. That came just 3 days after he was, after he announced that he was leaving the Spartans following his sophomore campaign. Now, due to NCAA rules, Jackson will have to sit out the 2018 year and will have 2 years of eligibility remaining. He was high school teammates with Syracuse defensive back Evan Foster. Now, he's a former four-star recruit from West Bloomfield High School. Jackson had 5 catches for 89 yards and a touchdown as a true freshie in 2016. He was the star of the spring game, 8 catches for 168 yards, and looked really poised for a breakout year, but that never really materialized. Jackson started the first 4 games of the season before his playing time dwindled as he finished with 12 catches for 143 yards, no touchdowns. Jackson is the 3rd Michigan State player and 2nd receiver to transfer since the season ended. Of course, that other receiver happened to be kin to Michigan State's wide receiver great Andre Rison, that being Hunter Rison. All right, another Jackson has made our headliners, that being Michigan State men's basketball player Jaren Jackson Jr., who has been named the Big Ten Conference Freshman Player of the Week. That was announced on Monday after his performance in a pair of games last week. Now, this is the 3rd Freshman of the Week nod this season for Jackson, who also took that honor on December 11th and November 27th. Jackson becomes one of 16 student athletes to earn 3 or more Big Ten Freshman of the Week awards in a season. Jackson averaged a little over 17 points, 4 boards, and 4 blocks in games against Rutgers and Michigan. In Wednesday's overtime win over Rutgers last week, he scored 16 points, grabbed 5 rebounds, had 2 blocks. In a loss to Michigan on Saturday, he tied his career high with 19 points, hitting 10 of 13 from the charity stripe. And he also blocked 6 shots. Michigan basketball topped Maryland in a close 68-67 affair last night at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. Despite erasing a 14-point deficit earlier in the half to take the lead, Michigan basketball found itself in a hole again against Maryland late in the game. The Wolverines had hit 7 three-point shots in a row to take the lead over the Terps and send the crowd in a complete frenzy. That was quite the scene last night. But in a wild sequence at the end of the game, thanks to a Kevin Huerter three ball with 3.2 seconds left, the Wolverines found themselves trailing again on a brilliant inbounds play. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, he was fouled with just over a second left, and he knocked down 2 free throws, notching his 1,000th point on the game winner. That's a way to get your 1,000 point, right? Now, Mo Wagner led the Wolverines, no brainer there, right? With 18 points, 11 boards, he's having a great year, while Anthony Cohen led the Terps with 24 points. Anthony balled out of control last night. He was really the player for Maryland last night. All right, Michigan State women's basketball concludes its three-game road trip, traveling to Illinois tonight for a tip time of 9 p.m. The Spartans are currently 13-5 this season and 3-2 in Big Ten play. The Fighting Illini are 9-10 overall, 0-5 in Big Ten action. On January 11th, Michigan State earned its first ever win against Maryland, one of the biggest games in the tenure of head coach Susie Merchant. The Spartans are now 1-10 against the Terps. Michigan State is just the second team to earn a Big Ten win against Maryland, along with Ohio State, which has three wins against Maryland. Maryland joined the league 3 years ago, back in 2015. The Illini and Wisconsin are the only two teams in the conference without a league win. Illinois had won four straight games before falling to a pair of ranked teams in Missouri, and Maryland. The Illini also had Big Ten losses to Northwestern, Rutgers, Iowa, and Nebraska. You can also catch the University of Michigan women's basketball team on the road tonight. Less than 2 weeks ago, the Ohio State women's basketball team needed overtime, but it defeated Michigan 78-71, a close game on the road to remain undefeated in Big Ten play. Well, Michigan has a chance at revenge tonight. Number 8 Ohio State will have a chance to defeat Michigan a second time to keep its spotless conference record at 7 p.m. That's when the tip time will happen tonight. That will take place on the road at Ohio State. Both teams will be fresh off Saturday road victories. The Buckeyes defeated Indiana 77-62, while the Wolverines topped Nebraska 69-64 in overtime. Looking forward to checking out Caitlin Flaherty in action tonight as well. She is something else on the basketball court, folks. All right, the Detroit Pistons, as they annually do on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, they hit the hardwood at home at Little Caesars Arena, but they fell to the Charlotte Hornets 118-107 yesterday afternoon. Now, Reggie Bullock and Tobias Harris had 20 points each, and Ish Smith added a season-high 19 points, 10 assists for the Pistons, who have lost six of their last nine games. The Pistons sit at 22-20 in the eighth seed of the NBA's Eastern Conference right now. They have lost two straight to teams with losing records, mainly because of really bad defense. The Hornets shot 51% from the field, including 46% on three-pointers. The Pistons will travel for a contest against the Toronto Raptors in Toronto tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Detroit Red Wings return to LCA tonight as they host the Dallas Stars. Detroit will also entertain Carolina on Saturday before venturing back on the road. The Wings are coming off a 4-0 win at Chicago on Sunday. Detroit is fourth in the Atlantic Division with 43 points, six out of a wild card spot. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, join us via Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, and you can even tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, folks, got a lot to get to on today's current sports. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we will be diving into what is wrong with the Michigan State men's basketball team, which had a very trying week last week that began with a loss on the road at the hands of Ohio State. They then, of course, played Rutgers and needed overtime to handle the Scarlet Knights. And then on Saturday afternoon, we saw Michigan State fall to in-state rival Michigan, a team that is going to cause a lot of problems in the Big Ten Conference as the year trucks along. We will talk college basketball as it pertains to the Spartans and the Wolverines later on this hour. We'll also get to the Detroit Pistons, but I want to start with the biggest news coming out of the entire state of Michigan, not just in the sporting world, but this crosses over, folks. And that concerns the Larry Nassar criminal sexual assault sentencing, in which about 88 victims began their testimonies and statements, I should say, prior to Nassar sentencing. The sentencing proceeding began around 9 a.m. this morning. And just to roll in, two statements out of the many victims who are letting their stories be heard to the public. And as I sat back and watched these testimonies, because you could just watch them right there on your laptop, on your, you know, iPad or smartphone, right there on the internet, you could watch these testimonies take place. And I was just really taken aback. I mean, there are many thoughts that go through your mind when watching a story of this magnitude take place. And there is really nothing that can be said or done that can take away the pain of being sexually assaulted. Putting Nassar behind bars for the survivors of this nightmare provides at least some sort of solace in this whole nightmare. But nothing can truly take away the pain of going through what these women have gone through. You know, manipulation is really a heinous tool used to hurt, used to deceive, and confuse. And as I listen to these testimonies that began this morning, these testimonies from Nassar survivors really broke my heart a bit. You know, something that I haven't really pondered when discussing this story, when discussing this case, something I really have not pondered until this morning is how this manipulation really has an effect on so many people that go beyond that survivor. It affects how these survivors are able to trust another man moving forward in their lives as they go on and graduate from college or go on and work and just live their daily lives. That's a tough hurdle. When you have been abused in this way, how can you ever truly move on and 100% trust another man? That affects the future of your family. It affects whether or not you can cultivate a healthy relationship with a member of the opposite sex, get married, have kids. It affects, heck, even beyond that, it affects how you trust others in your daily life. And also, I thought about this morning as well, as I listen to these brave, strong women. How about the parents who are in the room with their young daughters? Manipulated. Thinking that this kind of treatment was an approved medical practice. Trusting Larry Nassar. And now, how do these parents feel? It also takes a toll on them, because a parent is there to protect their young, make sure that they are secure in everything they do. And now, how many of the parents of these strong women, how many of these parents are feeling as though they did not do enough? Replaying these visits over and over and over in their head, beating themselves up over how they didn't see the signs of manipulation as it pertains to their young daughter. Feeling like they are the cause of this pain as it pertains to their young ones who are now adults and trying to cope and understand this situation as they mature and get older. Many of these women came forth in court this morning. Many of these strong women told of how they have since dealt with depression, how they have needed therapy. One young woman even telling of a story in which it had such a toll on her mentally and emotionally that she couldn't do her job effectively. She had to leave her job to recover, to seek professional help. She was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and her health began to fail. You know, it's a story that is going to linger. And there are still many questions that need to be answered. The biggest question, probably, that we all are asking now is how in the world does something like this happen? Who enabled this behavior that allowed more than 140 women and girls to come forward with their own story of manipulation as it pertains to Larry Nassar? Yesterday we saw famed gymnast, member of the Fierce Five, Simone Biles, come out and tell her story after seeing her two teammates in Allie Raisman and Michaela Maroney share their stories of manipulation as it pertains to Nassar prior to Biles coming out. Those who did enable this behavior, those who saw something possibly wrong and did not report it, those are also people that need to be held accountable. And soon, you got to believe that those questions will be answered as well. Right now, what I would like to do is, as promised, I want to play two statements from two very strong women who came forth this morning. It takes a lot of courage to do that. It really does, to go before the public in court and stand before a man who abused you, who manipulated you all those years ago, to look that sick man in the eyes and tell your story and share it with the world. That takes a lot of courage, a lot of strength. And the first statement I would like to play here on Current Sports comes from a woman by the name of Rebecca Mark. Rebecca, she met Nassar as a freshman soccer player at Mason High School back in 1999. Now, this is really an important detail because this shows that Nassar didn't just commit these heinous crimes on gymnast. This is really the first time that I've heard a woman come out and tell her story who had no affiliation with being a gymnast. This is how deep the rabbit hole goes when discussing Nasser. This was a freshman soccer player at Mason High School who sought some treatment due to an injury, went to Nasser and trusted Nasser, and was abused. Here is the statement from Rebecca Mark in court this morning.
I saw Larry as a freshman in high school back in 1999. I was really excited about playing soccer that year because I had made the JV team as a freshman. And we were a powerhouse soccer team in Mason, so it was a big deal for me. Leading up to the season, I had gotten a lower back injury during an indoor soccer game. And as the outdoor season progressed, it got to the point where I collapsed after practices and games in just an insane amount of pain. In my own high school mind, not playing was not an option.
Can you just slow down a little bit?
Sorry.
I know you're nervous.
Sorry.
I could tell if I sort of engaged you in a little conversation.
Thank you.
You can just slow down, look at me, forget everybody around you. I understand the stress. Just slow down a little bit, okay?
That sounds good.
Thank you.
Not playing was not an option. And my parents were obviously concerned. They were able to get me an appointment with Larry. I saw Larry once. I remember him doing a scan of my body as I stood straight up in his office, where he poked and prodded at me, and he made various observations about my muscles and my bone structure, etc. My mom was in the room. I was really into sports, and honestly, it was interesting to hear such a thorough examination of my body. After the standing examination was done, Larry asked me to lay down on the exam table, and he positioned himself so that he was between my midsection and where my mom was sitting so she couldn't see what was happening. He kept prodding and manipulating my legs and my hips and my stomach, and at some point he said he was going to move his hands close to my vagina. I thought a lot about that statement in hindsight, and I see how devious and how practiced it must have been for him. My mom knew this doctor would be getting close, so no cause for concern. And I was expecting something to happen, but I didn't know what. I had absolutely no other medical or personal experience against which to compare what he was about to do, and he didn't talk me through what he was doing. So he molested me, and he molested me with my mom in the room. My mom and I talked about the appointment afterwards, but I didn't really have the words for what Larry had done. And as a 15-year-old girl, I was embarrassed to talk to adults about something like that. I'd never seen a gynecologist. I never had a pap smear. And at the time, I thought that this was what it meant to be a woman going to the doctors. Awkward and embarrassing and uncomfortable, but just part of the deal. Besides, I thought he was looking out for me. It's been about 18 years since my appointment. And in that 18 years, I've never had another health professional come close to touching me the way that he did. At the time, I had a sense that it was a strange appointment, and if the university or the police or someone actually looking to find something had asked either my mom or I about the experience, they would have put together a pattern of him acting far outside of normal behavior for a doctor. But no one asked us, and so after me, Larry had another 16-odd years to molest and assault young women and girls. It sickens me to know that I was on the early side of his abuse. He used those early appointments with people like my mom and I as a test case to see how far he could push the patient-doctor trust for his own sick gratification. It makes me feel so disgusted and weak that I was part of his learning process, to know that he was doing that to other girls at the time who were hurting just as much as I was and who just wanted to get better. And to know that he took what he learned from those appointments like mine, and he went on to abuse so many young women and girls for the next 16 years. I knew that Larry molested me when I read the article in the Indy Star. For me, this past year and a half has been about coming to terms with how naive and vulnerable and angry that one appointment has made me feel. Feel really stupid for not understanding what was happening at the time, really guilty for not contributing in some way to stopping it sooner, and really, really emotionally vulnerable. But I also feel really lucky because I got to go through high school and I got to go through college and dating and I got to meet my future husband only thinking it was a weird doctor's appointment. It's just in the last year that I've had to come to terms with what's happened, but even in that last year, it's changed me. Larry's later victims knew they were victims at a much younger age. So beyond molesting them, as you've heard today, he's also robbed them of the innocence and carefreeness that's supposed to come with that time in your life. After today, I don't plan to think about Larry unless I absolutely have to. I get to keep living. I get to keep looking forward to the future and what's next. I get to keep having an incredibly rich and fulfilling life, and so do the other women who are here today, and so do the other women who haven't necessarily stepped forward. But that's not what he gets, and that's where I get my justice. I'd like Larry to sit in prison for a very long time with no hope for what's next. I also want to say that I was abused once a long time ago. I didn't understand that it was abuse until I was an adult, and even with that, this past year has still been a very emotional and trying time. I can't imagine how difficult it's been for the charging victims. I don't want the women and families who testified against Larry to have to go through that again unless they want to, which is why I hope that even though these crimes warrant a lifetime or more in prison, you will sentence Larry to the highest minimum of 40 years so that the plea deal is not jeopardized. And I also want to close by saying thank you to you, to Detective Andrea Mumford, to Rebecca Snyder and Angela, the Michigan AG's office, to Rachel and the Indy Star for shining a light on this, and for the other women who stepped forward to end the abuse. I know that it took a lot of people to catch and prosecute this person, and I appreciate the network that it's taken to get here.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here. That wasn't just a weird doctor appointment. It was a criminal doctor appointment, yeah. And I'm very sorry that no one caught up sooner.
That was just some of the, one statement from many women who are coming forward and sharing their troubling stories and sharing what they went through as it pertains to Larry Nassar and his sexual abuse and manipulation of many young girls. That was, again, Rachel Mark, that audio coming courtesy of WLNS. As they have been live streaming this sentencing since 9 a.m. this morning, our very own Scott Pohl and Katie Cook are in court covering this as well. And you heard Rebecca just kind of detailing what took place with her as her mother was in the room being evaluated as a young freshman soccer player at Mason High School back in 1999, and watching the live stream, you know, she's sharing her story as Nassar sits in front of her. His head was down most of the time. A few times I saw Larry's head pop up and, you know, he teared up a bit. But I'm curious to get your thoughts. You know, I mentioned before we played that snippet from Rebecca Mark, I mentioned how there are many questions that still need to be answered. Who enabled this behavior? Who knew? Who didn't say anything about it? And what are your thoughts? I want to hear from you all out there who listened to that testimony, who have been following this case. And I want to hear your thoughts as it pertains to those who might have known something but didn't say anything. As it pertains to those who have affiliation with Twist Stars here in the mid-Michigan area, those who have affiliation with USA Gymnastics, who knew Nassar, as it pertains to Michigan State University, I want to hear from you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I see many of you also commenting on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll get to a few of those comments. And again, you can also join us via Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to hear our first break. When we come back, I'm going to roll in testimony from Bethany Bauman. I'm going to hear her statement. And we're going to take your calls, and then we're going to try and proceed, I should say, into some sports talk as it pertains to the Michigan and Michigan State men's basketball teams. That and more. You are listening live right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been talking about what's been taking place this morning here in Lansing at the Ingham County Circuit Court under Judge Rosemarie Aquilina, as Larry Nassar, a former doctor who worked with Michigan State University, USA Gymnastics, Twist Stars. He will be sentenced this week on 7 first-degree criminal sexual abuse charges. And we've been getting your reaction. Many of you weighing on Facebook. I'm going to get to a few of those comments in just a moment. I'm asking you all to call in as well. As you have just heard testimony from Rebecca Mark, I'm also going to play testimony courtesy of WLNS from Bethany Ballman as well. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We do have Austin from Kalamazoo on line one. Austin, thank you so much for calling on the show, my friend. What's on your mind?
Yeah, man, just want to touch on the Nassar case, man. It's very disheartening to hear, especially when you hear these testimonies. And it's funny because I guess as I got older, kind of watching the Olympics and everything, I kind of started paying attention to the interactions between the coaches and like the gymnastic team, and it's always looked a little inappropriate to me. You know, I sound crazy for saying that, but it's like now that this has come out, it like sheds light on an issue that I'm sure has been going on for a long time in this type of arena. And I'm just glad that these women had the courage to step up, because so many times you see in sports where if you have an athlete that's at the top of their game or they're representing the country, they're winning all these gold medals, issues tend to get swept under the rug because it's, no, the USA is doing good, we're winning gold medals, and they don't get a chance to really vent and talk about what's going on personally in their lives. Like, you even look at the situation with Gabby Douglas when she was getting talked about on social media pretty bad, nobody ever addressed, like, her emotional needs at that point. And so I'm just glad that, like I said, these women had the courage to step out and tell this story and shed light on the issue that I think has been going on in gymnastics and sports in general for a long time.
Yeah, and Austin, you bring up a few points there I want to follow up with. But, you know, you mentioned Gabby Douglas. And also, Allie Raisman, Michaela Maroney. We just saw yesterday Simone Biles come out and share her story of abuse in regards to Dr. Larry Nassar. And, it takes a lot of strength. And again, I just played testimony from Rebecca Mark. And in just a moment, I'm going to play testimony from Bethany Ballman as well. But, you know, going back to your first statement, though, Austin, when you would watch the Olympics and you said you always – you know, you will watch certain things and say, that doesn't seem appropriate. What were those things? What do you mean by that?
I guess, and I specifically remember from the 2012 Olympics, it was the Chinese gymnastic team. And after one of the girls, she had a great performance. And the male coach kind of gave her a good game slap on her hind part. I don't know if that's appropriate for your show or not. But,
no,
you know,
fine.
For being a basketball player, you know, growing up playing sports, it's like, that's a normal thing. But then when I thought about it, I was like, still, as a male coach with female athletes, that's a very inappropriate interaction.
I agree.
And you kind of see those things, like, even to go as far as, like, the way the cameramen position themselves when covering these things. It's like, it's so inappropriate the way that they showcase these young girls in this sport.
Interesting stuff. Austin, thank you so much for your call, my man. Really appreciate you chiming in.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Al.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But, you know, and piggybacking off of Austin's comments, you know, I've always wondered myself, you know, when you see a story of this nature, when it pertains to Dr. Larry Nassar, the thought has crossed my mind as well, how many others are out there? You know, I've thought to myself, Nassar can't be the only one. That thought has also crossed my mind. And again, there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered when it comes to those who are were affiliated, with Dr. Larry Nassar. I mean, we covered it extensively when Kathy Klages, former Michigan State women's gymnastics coach Kathy Klages, she stepped down as head coach of the women's gymnastics team. And, you know, there was a lot of chatter surrounded around a story in which a gymnast from back in the day came to her and basically said, I think something's wrong here. And Kathy proceeded to basically warn this young gymnast about what could happen if she came out with this allegation in regards to Larry Nassar. We've got many comments rolling in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Ben says the athletic department and school staff are just as guilty for not doing anything about this until the investigation started. Chris weighs in and says the gymnastics women at MSU told the coach, and she said he didn't do anything wrong. And Chris, I assume you're talking about Kathy Klages when you say she. She didn't do anything wrong because he is top notch. It's procedures. She covered this guy. Glad she is gone. So, yeah, I assume you're talking about Kathy Klages here. Glad she is gone, but she should be fined and put in jail because she covered it up and she never brought it up to the athletic director and MSU president. Many of you weighing in on this. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to play just one more statement that came courtesy of WLNS from this morning's sentencing for Larry Nassar. This one coming from a woman by the name of Bethany Ballman. This is what Bethany had to say.
Morning, ma'am. Thank you for being here.
Morning.
And could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. Bethany Bauman, BethanyBauman.
Thank you. What would you like me to know?
Over the past 16 months, I have felt guilt, shame, anger, and embarrassment for what Larry did to me. I'm relieved that the truth finally came out, but I'm angry with myself for not recognizing the abuse sooner, and I struggle with that daily. However, I truly believe that even if I would have recognized the abuse and come forward several years ago, we would still be in this very same place today. Even as a 31-year-old, it was extremely uncomfortable to describe to my family and my parents the graphic details of what you did to me. Each time I've had to describe it, whether to the police, my attorneys, my therapist, or in writing, it doesn't get any easier. Having to relive my experiences over and over, almost 20 years later, brings back so many memories and emotions. I even avoid talking about it with those close to me because I get closed off and irritable. The fact that I was sexually abused by you is something that I'm still wrapping my head around. One of the hardest parts is seeing my parents carry any sense of responsibility for what happened, because it is in no way their fault. It's your fault. We all trusted Larry and are angry for the way you deceived us. He's made it difficult to trust anyone. The flashbacks of the hours spent alone in that exam room with him have at times kept me up at night. My memories are vivid, and it's hard to get the images out of my head. I remember how much it hurt, but didn't want to speak up because I was afraid of what you would think of me. I had to be strong. When I told my mom that it hurt, she thought I was referring to the pain in my back, not the pain in my vagina from the excruciating hour of assault that just took place. For the first time in my life, I've sought therapy because I realize this is something that I am not able to deal with on my own. My therapist has helped me find ways to cope with my anxiety and emotions, but more importantly, she's helped me to stop blaming myself. Larry, you are the one who should feel guilt and shame every day and have to live with that for the rest of your life. Unfortunately, we as victims and survivors have to live with the damage you have caused for the rest of our lives, too. Your Honor, I'm asking for the full sentence set by the Attorney General's office because I am 100% confident that if he had not been caught, he would continue to do this for the rest of his life. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here.
Again, that statement coming from Bethany Ballman. She shared her story, one of the many strong and courageous women who are sharing their stories as it pertains to Larry Nassar and how they were manipulated and abused. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two right now. We have Jason that wants to chime in. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother, what's going on?
I'm doing well, my friend.
So, well, you know, it's very disgusting hearing all this stuff of what Dr. Nassar did. And, you know, I'm with everybody else. I hope he fries. And unfortunately, he's going to be put in some protective custody when he's in jail. So the guys that are in there that hate guys like that aren't going to be able to touch him. Sad to hear that. But, you know, the one thing that that's getting me, knowing the history of Lansing in gymnastics, okay, we had our own gold medalist in Jordan Weber, you know, with twisters and with the USA Olympics. You know, I haven't heard anything of Jordan saying anything happening, and she was on the team with Simone Biles and Gabby Douglas and whatnot. So it's just, it's concerning me a little bit because we haven't heard anything from our local person who could possibly be at the center of any of this, you know, stuff that's going on. Did anything ever happen to Jordan?
Right.
You know,
and that's a thought that's crossed my mind as well. You know, I never forget, Jason, when I was an intern in my junior year of college at Channel 6 News. And I'll never forget, I did a, I was shadowing actually, and I was helping out Lisa Byington. One of my friends and mentors in the business, who's now with of course the Big Ten Network and Fox Sports,
from the good old city of Alpena up north.
Preach on, man. She used to work at WBKB. Started from the bottom, and now she's here, right? But
yep.
I was helping out Lisa, and we were doing a feature on Jordan Weber. This is before she even made the Olympic team, and she's in training there. We drove out to Diamonddale, Michigan. We walked inside of Twist Stars, and we see Jordan, and she is putting on this unbelievable workout exhibition, and all of these young gymnasts are just staring in awe of her, looking up to Jordan Weber. But, yeah, we have not, you know, but I'll never forget that, because now all of these memories are coming back like, wow, I remember setting foot in Twist Stars and helping out covering this feature on Jordan Weber, stepping on these grounds that have now been infested with negativity due to the crimes of Larry Nassar. But yeah, and you know, Jordan, you know, she's been reached out by multiple media outlets out there, including us here at WKAR, and she has chosen so far to stay silent. But yeah, I mean, that's an obvious thought that crosses your mind when you talk about the most famed gymnast to come out of the East Lansing, mid-Michigan, heck, probably the entire state of Michigan, and Jordan Weber, and her not to issue a statement. But that's a thought that does cross your mind. Was Jordan Weber ever abused by Dr. Right. Larry Nassar?
Yep. And it, you know, it's just kind of, you know, and the other stuff is, you know, what did John Gettert know out there at Twist Stars? Does Gettert know anything that was happening when Nassar was working with them? You know, I haven't heard anything on Getter with anything. So it's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of one of those things when, it's all happening here. Everything's happening here. Even the federal stuff's happening here in Michigan. But, you know, the local ties to the stuff with Twist Stars and MSU and everything, we hear all the stuff at MSU, but how come we're not hearing any of the stuff that really happened at Twist Stars? Now, the gal that you just played an interview of, I never remember hearing her name in U.S. Olympics, so I'm wondering if she was a Twist Stars person.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. You know, I don't know if she was in the Olympic training program out there in Colorado. You know, who knows? But, you know, the other thing is, okay, so we know the Nasser side, you know, hearing his side of this, that, and the other thing. But what is Marta Caroli's play in this? Yeah,
and her husband was
the great gymnastics coach with Mary Lou Retton and Carrie Strug and whatnot. And so what is Marta's play in any of this with Dr. Nasser? What has she swept under the rug that we don't know?
Yeah, and you know, you bring up John Getter, and I encourage Jason, as well as our listeners out there, if you have not read the piece from John Barr and Dan Murphy, I spent about 30 minutes this morning reading this piece from ESPN. They actually have done a piece concerning John Getter, who coached the 2012 U.S. Olympic gymnastics team out in London, and who spent more than two decades working alongside Nasser. They were very close, and they actually cover the story from the perspective of John Getter. And they talk about when, you know, a lawsuit was filed, because Getter was known to verbally abuse his gymnast. He was really in your face and very aggressive. He would routinely make young gymnasts cry. There's a story about a lawsuit in which he is said to, you know, physically abused a young gymnast. He got into it with this gymnast in the parking lot, allegedly stepped on her foot and pushed her in the chest, and, you know, it was this whole thing that broke out. But, you know, Getter worked alongside Larry Nasser, and it was a big reason why Nasser was able to earn his degree, become a doctor, and be affiliated with gymnastics at Twist Stars, with USA Gymnastics, and eventually at Michigan State University as well. So check out that piece, Jason. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it for sure.
All right, brother, we'll definitely do. And, you know, get a hold of me when you're doing the show today so we can start talking those PSAs for the Battlefield Brawl.
Without a doubt, the day is coming nearer and nearer as we wind down the days here of winter. I can't wait for the Battlefield Brawl. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right, brother, have a great one. Talk to you later. Be easy.
You too. All right, my man Jason. Let's hear our final break. And when we come back, I'll put a bow on this show by just giving final thoughts on what we've been discussing concerning Dr. Larry Nasser, and briefly touch on Michigan State men's basketball. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have about 4 minutes left here in the hour as we have been discussing a very heavy story here throughout this hour here live on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We've been talking about the Larry Nasser sentencing proceeding, which began around 9 a.m. today, and I assume that we will have some pieces that will air later on this afternoon on All Things Considered. I believe we have Karell Vega behind the glass right now, who's filling in as engineer to help close out this Tuesday Current Sports. I believe you'll have something for maybe Scott Pohl or Katie Cook.
Scott Pohl, Katie Cook, we'll have some coverage. Yeah, look forward to that.
We'll have some coverage later on All Things Considered later on this afternoon, so keep it locked there. We'll also have that coverage posted on our website at WKAR.org. And if you're tuning in late, where have you been, first off? But if you are tuning in late and you missed any of the dialogue that we've had throughout this hour here on Current Sports, you can catch the podcast version of today's show around 3 o'clock via WKAR.org and as well as Facebook.com/Current Sports. But as we wrap up today's show, I want to also remind you all that we'll be talking some Michigan State men's college basketball. Tom Izzo held a press conference this afternoon at 12:30 p.m. inside of the friendly confines of the Breslin Center to address how his team is trying to shake off what took place on Saturday against in-state rival Michigan. Many Spartan fans are still a bit confused. And I got to be real with you all. There's a lot of Spartan fans that have come to me directly and said, Al, I'm losing faith in this team right now. Now, to that, what I've told those individuals is, hey, there's still a lot of basketball left to play. And we're still talking about Tom Izzo here. This is a man who has been to countless Final Fours. He's a basketball Hall of Famer. He's won a national championship. This is his most talented roster, even though there is no denying that this is a team that has some problems, multiple problems. And from what I saw on Saturday afternoon, this team is lacking confidence, but more so than that, they're lacking toughness and that dog mentality. Now, what do I mean by a dog mentality? I am talking about a mentality that has a swagger that knows that nobody in college basketball has a more talented team than Michigan State, and you are not going to beat us. We are going to stomp on your throat. Michigan State, I can't name one player that has that type of mentality, but you know who did have it on Saturday afternoon? A man by the name of Mo Wagner, who was by far the best player in the gym on Saturday. He talked it. He walked it. He stared at Spartan fans whenever he scored. He celebrated when the final buzzer sounded. He's got a personality that is a dog personality. That is something that Michigan State men's basketball is missing. We'll elaborate more on MSU Hoops on tomorrow's Current Sports. But much thanks to all of you out there for tuning in and listening. Much thanks to Ian Hawley, Karell Vega, all of our callers, all of our listeners out there. We'll do it again, same time, same place tomorrow. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. As always, take care, have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.